Actually, you're going to be hearing from Marilyn Schultz first, but I think you know some of the principles, or most of them, of SmartGov, the Citizens Group, which is advocating for local and school government reform in Indiana, and we're going to take that with. I'm very grateful to the group for their activism in the first place, and they're about to take their activities to a new level. It doesn't look much like him, but that's Joe Kernan right there on the table, who couldn't be here, but wanted to make sure he heard what happened. And so greetings, Governor, and thank you for all you've been doing. So,
thanks very much. Good to be with you.
We're delighted to have you. Someone said we were looking around for that life-size cardboard cutout of you to stand up here, but it must be in storage. So.
Well, I just want you to know that I look really good
You look good every time I see you. So anyway, to make this morning's announcements, please, Marilyn.
Great. Thank you very much, Governor Daniels. I want you to know, Governor Kernan, that we look really good, too. Thank you, Governor Daniels, for letting us make the announcement in this office, because we know it's of statewide interest. You know our bills are going through the legislature, primarily in the Senate. And we're getting the distinct feeling that the public needs to have a greater understanding of what these bills are and the impact of these bills on their local community. So we thought it's kind of a funny thing that every time you go out in the community and you're talking to someone and explaining what these bills do, the response you ordinarily is get, oh my heavens, why haven't we done that before? I didn't even really know this was going on. And so we think it's now time to take this message even further into the communities. We are going to be having a series of meetups around the state with people who are our supporters and get them the best information, the newest information we have about the bills and the research we've been doing on the data, and send them forth to work with their own local legislators and express the need for their support of these bills. The first meetup will be in Kokomo next Tuesday, and we'll be rolling out our plans for other cities in the next few days. So we'd be happy to answer some questions. I don't know, Kevin, if you'd like to make a few remarks, or any of the other members of the board. Let me just turn this over to Kevin for a few minutes. Kevin Bruninger is the chair of MySmartGov.org.
Thank you, Marilyn, and thank you, Governor Daniels. I am Kevin Bruninger. I'm president of the Indiana Chamber of Commerce and head of the board of MySmartGov.org, which is a group of citizens interested in a better structure of local government, a higher level of efficiency and effectiveness of local government. And we are so pleased that Governor Daniels and Governor Kernan and the other members of the Kernan-Shepherd Commission commissioned and produced that report and have thrown their support behind several pieces of legislation that have been introduced and have had hearings that are moving through the General Assembly. And it's our objective to push those bills across the finish line this legislative session. We had several this week heard, including bills on library consolidation, elimination of township government, which we believe is long overdue, and consolidation of our very small school corporations to provide better academic opportunities. And so we are at it, and we're delighted that Governor Daniels and Governor Kernan have been willing to commit time to these gatherings around the state, and we think that'll help raise the visibility and help the overall effort. Thank you.
Let me just say why I think this is so important. I mean, as witnessed by the leadership of Governor Kernan and important Indiana Democrats like Louis Mahern and Marilyn Schultz and Kathy Davis and others, as well as people from my side of the tracks, this is the definitively good government movement in Indiana right now. But good government movements almost always have the same weakness. Their benefits are widely dispersed, and the opposition is maybe small, but it's highly concentrated and vocal. And if only the special interests are heard, then these bills will have difficulty. And that's why MySmartGov and all the allied groups that make it up are here to balance the debate. And that's why I know Joe's given more of his time, and Louis, Judge Shepard, and all of us to try to make certain that the public interest is heard. I've been telling legislators, as I've been visiting with them, thanking the pro-reform legislators that are working on this, that what they already know, the broad public opinion in Indiana supports reform. We are not pushing this rock uphill. The public overwhelmingly supports reform, but very few people have the time to come be heard about it. And that's what MySmartGov is out to ensure is a fairly balanced debate. Questions for anyone?
Are you concerned that your bills won't get out of the Senate?
No, I'm very optimistic, actually, that we're making every single bill is making progress. None of them is easy. But and there have been some compromises, which was always in the cards. But veterans of this debate will all tell you we've never seen reform in any way, move it to any extent like this before. So I'm pretty optimistic.
Governor, what is your administration willing to do if lawmakers don't move forward with Governor Shepard? I mean, administratively, use your own executive power to encourage local governments to work together, are you willing to use, like, you know, the Department of Local Government Finances authority to maybe squeeze the money a little bit more, or what are you guys willing to do?
We're going to pass these bills, and let's make that question moot.
Have you been surprised at the hostility among even some of your Senate Republicans? Hearing that Kevin testified at the other day, some of the questioning on the reform side sounds like something out of the Spanish Inquisition.
No, of course not. Of course not. You know, but politicians protecting politicians is neither new nor very pretty sight ever. But again, in every poll, in every referendum that's been held, and in terms of the last election, when pro-reform candidates won, it's clear the public wants to see some positive change, clean up this antique system. And it's not surprising that the few folks whose interests are deeply vested in the status quo have come down here and be heard from. But that's why the debate needs to be balanced a little more. Could be, sure. I mean, it'd certainly be a huge step forward. And besides, based on the record, when people got a chance to vote for reform on assessors, for example, they voted heavily in that direction.
Governor, this is a question more for Marilyn and Kevin. Mm-hmm. I see the same kind of lack of diversity that I saw here in this office 2 months ago when we were all gathered here. When I look at this release, there are two areas of conspicuously absent from these lists of meetups, and those are the areas of the state that have the greatest concern. Specifically, are there going to be meetups in Lake County and in Marion County, and when is this enterprise going to address the specific concerns of African Americans, particularly the African American community here in Indianapolis that's in six of the largest townships of this state?
I'd like to address that, and yes, we will be considering going to other areas of the state. This is just the beginning of our list. I want to talk about those inner city townships, because I don't see the representatives of those poorest townships being upset that their citizens are being taxed more than anybody else in the county. I'm sorry, I haven't received those invitations, and I'd be happy to go there. But let me just address the tax issue. There are 2% of the townships that provide 80% of the relief. And in those townships, you have the very poorest people in the state, and they are taxed more heavily than anybody else. And that is one of the reforms that the Kernan Shepard proposal will make. We need to look at taxation. And we need to make sure that there's fair taxation. We need to look at how services are offered and that those services are equal from one township to the next, so all poor people in the state have the same opportunity. And we also need to look at equal employment opportunities. We know that in most townships around the state, contracts are not advertised. There is rampant nepotism. So unless you're married to the township trustee, you don't have an opportunity to work in a township. Now, I think those are the big issues. And yes, we'd like to speak to the communities around. And Amos, I went to your office, but was turned away because obviously it was a time when you were very busy. But I'd be happy to come back. The reason it's reduced to two sentences is that we're leaving it to count the communities in every county to work for a system that works best for their community. So there's maximum flexibility to provide contracts to Center Township or to whomever would like to make the proposal to provide poor relief if that works for the county. So we're trying to make it very flexible, and it's not being dictated by the state. That's why there are no page after page of discussion of how township poor relief would be provided, because it will be done community by community.
And if you've got 2 hours of open air time, tell us when it is, and we'll be there.
And will that include African Americans? I still see no African Americans standing up here as proponents. Do they not exist?
Let's let somebody else in here.
What? We've heard rumors of media campaigns and
such. Well, I think you can look for additional public advocacy activities on top of the meetups that have been discussed today. Yeah, stand by.
Some revelation this week earlier with $200 million in townships.
Well, I think it has some bearing with citizens. I got asked about it in multiple places, including the locker room. It was an important piece of journalism. As Marilyn just pointed out, the average citizen senses that a 150-year-old system is not serving them well. But when they find out the specifics, being taxed year after year as the money stacks up in an account, for instance, as they begin to learn about the nepotism, the fact that there are so few competitive elections, this allegedly pulse-of-the-people system is actually the same people sitting in office year after year after year. Only one-fourth of the township of, elections are even contested. As they learn things like this, then they begin to see in greater detail why reform is needed.
Governor, if you wanted in December, the legislature's now been in for 6 weeks. Why are you guys just now taking this up to the people?
Well, I think MySmartGov has been active for weeks, but this is a new initiative. They have recruited people. The folks who will be attending these meetings have been identified, as I understand it, during the last few weeks. We've certainly been working the network of people that have assisted us with previous reforms and elections. And so it's a natural, I think, evolution of something that started weeks ago.
Governor, how do you convince so many of those senators and House members that they got their roots in, started in local government, that's where they were sort of the farm team, that this is the reform that's necessary, when a lot of the people who came and testified this week are the folks who go out and knock on doors for them during re-election time?
You just simply politely ask them, are you with the taxpayer and the citizen or with the politicians and the vested interests? It is really that simple. And it doesn't matter if you're talking about the smaller communities where the vast majority of these folks are Republicans or the places in the inner cities where the politicians may be of the other party. What never changes is the citizen is not being well served. The taxpayer is not being well protected. And you're either going to protect people, albeit your friends, or are you going to look out for your real constituents? And one other thing, this is not about the people. They're overwhelmingly, the people sitting in these offices are good folks, and most are trying to do a good job. It's about a system that doesn't perform. And compromises that may well happen here along the line may grandfather some of these folks or give a transition period. It really isn't, in most cases, about people who are doing wrong things. It's about a system that is not serving people well.
Lake County
was recently exempted from one of these
keep it moving in the Senate? Given Lake County's financial problems, do you think it's appropriate to make that better?
Well, cost of doing business, and I don't think, you know, I think it's unfortunate. You know, if there's a county in the state that needs reform, you know which one it is. The property tax caps and the tax reductions that a bipartisan General Assembly made possible last year, sooner or later is going to force change in Lake County. But, you know, better that the rest of the state progress, and if Lake County wants to insist on a system that hasn't served its taxpayers well at all, for a little while longer, I guess that'll have to be the case.
Is there any question to Governor Herman?
Yeah, can you hear well, Joe?
I can, Governor.
Okay, sure. Shout it out.
Governor Herman, your fellow South Bend resident, Speaker Bauer, has not been very enthusiastic about the Herman-Shepherd proposals, I put it mildly. Have you personally tried to persuade him of your point of view on this issue?
No, I've not. Going back to when I first got involved in the summer of 2007 to let him know what I was doing, and we had some conversations since then. But no, I've not been lobbying him relative to the reforms. And I would just point out that while we are certainly along in the session,
if I can just support Joe a little bit on this, I mean, I think, and the Speaker for that matter, I think the time's not here yet. These bills, by common consent, have started in the Senate and need to progress there before it makes sense to bother the Speaker. He's been busy with budget and other matters, and that's what we agreed would make sense, I think, at the outset of the session. I believe we're going to succeed in seeing a significant, meaningful amount of reform move through the Senate, and that'll be the time for us all to visit with the House, all the House members, about their role in this process.
Governor, what are you doing this morning?
Oh, I've talked to the Speaker about this at great length, but again, by common consent, back before the session started, we decided to start the reform process on the other side, and as you know, by statute, the House has the burden of starting the other important assignment of this year, which is the budget. So it seemed like a reasonable division of labor, and the time will come, but for Joe and for all the rest of us.
What do you know at this point about what's in store for Indiana and the federal stimulus and compromise?
A little under $4 billion. Most of it tightly locked up by various strings. The vast majority is in Medicaid and highways, and the biggest single piece will flow through to education. There will be education dollars we won't know how to spend, at least for a while, in Indiana, where we've not had big education cuts like other states. We are working on this very hard. And we will be first out of the blocks. In fact, we already have our first acceleration list. People keep asking me about wish lists. We don't have a wish list. We have acceleration lists because we don't sit around wishing in this state. We're already busy on these things. But we're accelerating roads and we're accelerating clean water. And we will have some further priorities to lay out very soon now that the bill is finally in near final form.
Well, there's no oversight to the money that's falling through the local communities so that they can't waste it or spend it on pet projects.
Well, people better get their expectations right. There's not going to be a whole lot of local money flowing through the local communities. Congress, as it is wont to do, has tied up most of this money. A huge amount will flow through to school systems. Some school systems will see a gusher of money that the like of which no one has seen before. Other money will come in highways, but contrary to the request we made, it's all tied up in strings too. One piece of good news is I think we are going to be able to move a meaningful amount of the highway money to locals. Something like $160 million, it looks like to us. But even then, that will be subject to the federal highway rules, and the locals will have to get their projects approved at the state.
The $50 million set aside for home mortgages, will Indiana participate in that at all? Or is that purely?
I don't honestly know how that's supposed to work. It's cloudy to me. I assume that it would be of some impact here, but too soon to say. Yeah, we've given assignments. There's a responsible person for in different buckets. I mean, NDOT obviously for highways, the Department of Education for that part of the education money that we will be able to influence. But I've asked my partner Becky Skillman to head a task force, clearinghouse really, to oversee all the spending that will have to happen in individual departments or through individual departments to make sure, once again, that our tests are made. Will it lead to jobs, incremental jobs now? Can it happen fast? And will it leave some positive asset behind, a physical asset, a new intellectual asset, something that makes Indiana economically stronger after this little temporary gusher has come and gone.
Who is paying for the travel for all the meetups, and is my smart stuff posting it where it's getting money from online?
We obviously will be providing the financial reports whenever those reports are required to be filed. And honestly, this is my first go-round in this kind of position, so I don't know those dates particularly, but they will be filed. But let me tell you that here are our funders for the most part. Here, MySmartGov, being funded by the State Chamber of Commerce, the Real Estate Realtors Association, the Professional Firefighters, and I'm missing somebody, CI Central Indiana Corporate Partnership, plus a few miscellaneous checks that come in from concerned citizens when they hear about us, and that will all be posted. But the primary funds come from people up here. We hope that many of the people going out to the meetups will pay for their own gas. But if we're happy to pay for it from my budget as well. We're doing the best we can to get the word out. There will be, you know, we're having a press conference today, for example. I suspect that will be picked up. Mary Dieter is in communication with the media in the local communities. We've worked with local organizations, and they're getting the word out. So we're doing the best we can.
Governor, can we get back to the prop tax cap in just a moment? Do you think the people are opposed to the government reform or the consolidation, or whoever want to phrase it, fully understand or fully grasp what's going to happen in 2010 when these property tax caps kick in and the spigot is turned off for a lot of funding for a lot of this local government that you folks are trying to reform?
You'd have to ask them. So far, by the way, the local governments and school governments have not had trouble dealing with the effects of the taxpayer protections. Maybe in another year or two it'll be harder. It'll be somewhat harder for those that were taxing the most in the past. But, you know, the recent LSA study says the impact will be less than was originally forecast. So I think it's going to prove quite manageable in most places. But, yes, I really hope that it will lead local and school governments to start being a little more careful about how they've been spending money. Can I just go back to Mary Beth's question? You know, to me, the real question is who's funding the other side? Because it's the taxpayers in too many cases. The people coming down here to oppose the reforms overwhelmingly are politicians sitting in taxpayer-paid offices. We've seen advertising funded by, again, elected officials. And, you know, at some point there are really questions about whether public dollars ought to be spent to lobby to protect public politicians.
Are you saying that the dollars spent by the Association of Indiana Counties was not legitimate?
I don't know where it came from. I'm just I'm just saying that it's an interesting question. Why, at least as interesting as asking these private citizens.
Can you give that federal stimulus money be used to fill the deficit in the unemployment trust fund?
Well, we'll have to see. The discretionary part is not very large. Less than $200 million, which wouldn't make much of a dent if that's what we decided to use it for. But there's a possibility. Depends how well we can keep the state's basic finances together.
How much of that $4 billion? Of money that local schools are going to get from the stimulus, and they're likely not going to receive much from the state budget. What is your advice or things that you would like to see them spend that money on?
Well, first of all, they're going to receive over $6 billion from the state budget, which is much in most. Yeah. Well, let me just make a couple comments. This, once again, this is one-time money. It's a heck of a lot of it, but it is one-time money. And so the fatal mistake for them not to make is to commit to things that would carry on beyond 2 years. They ought to just be on notice now. There won't be any way to, when the federal funds stop coming, there won't be any way to replace all that. But there are still some great things we can do. We certainly have some ideas, reform initiatives that are already beginning in Indiana that we might make much larger in the area of teacher quality and the area of math and science, so-called STEM education. And I'd like to see us work together to make some big leaps forward in these 2 years so that 2 years from now, for instance, maybe Indiana is a national leader in science and math education. Design and have our high schools, as some already are, designed around that. A leader in getting talented people to enter teaching and teach in our low-income schools. And so there are some programs like that that we hope to encourage them to take part in. But a lot of this money is going to go to them, and if they, in amazing quantities, and it'll be tricky not to misspend it.
Governor, speaking of education, your dollars are classroom legislation is going to get a hearing.
Yeah.
Committee hearing next week. We've heard some criticism from superintendents on how dollars to classroom are calculated in Indiana. For example, some of the fastest growing districts have some of the lowest scores. They have some of the highest ISF and graduation rates. Conversely, some of the highest dollars to classroom have some of the lowest graduation rates and ISF scores.
Yeah.
Should the state reevaluate how they measure dollars to classroom?
Yeah, I do think we should. And your question, for instance, points out that if you're a fast-growing district and you had to build, then your score looks bad because you got a lot of debt service.
Right.
It could be we should at least have a separate calculation that just looks how you're operating the schools. I'll give you another good example. I don't know how this ever happened, but the cost of the school board and the superintendent's staff gets counted as classroom. Well, that's backwards. You know, you'd like them to be more economical about that so they could hire another math teacher or offer another advanced placement test. And right now, if you shrink that particular administrative expense, it would actually make your score look worse. So, yes, it needs touching up. It really does.
So when you make the case that 61 cents isn't good enough, and I go to look at how my school district's doing and the measurement's out of whack, how do I, you know, make an assessment of how good my school district's doing?
Well, let's just, it's a little like our academic results. Nobody's doing really well. Nobody's doing as well as we ought to do or as we need to do. Let's just start with that. You know, academically, the best school district in Indiana is not close to what our kids will need to be. So let's just all agree we've got to get better, all of us together. And this is absolutely true of the efficiency with which we spend the school dollar.
Or
No.
Second stimulus, how much of the $4 billion, in particular, how much of the education money are we able to spend within the time limits?
Ask it again. How much of the...
How much of the money will we actually be able to appropriate and put to use? Can we get through all of it, or do we have that?
Well, we'll see. It's certainly going to be our... Again, jobs and speed, speed and jobs, I've been chanting to our people from the beginning. And... for instance, in the highway area, it is highly likely that some states will simply not be able to organize themselves to use the dollars set aside for them, and they'll revert. If they do, I want us to be ready to capture those. So we're going to move as fast as we possibly can, both to get these dollars working for Hoosiers quickly, and because we might actually be able to obtain some more at the end of the trail if we do.
Governor, why would you allow it in the precipice here? You might have been an opportunity to talk about the stimulus package.
I wasn't invited.
That's it.
Yeah, and that's okay, by the way. I'm not complaining at all. I had work to do, so I'm not the least bit slighted or troubled by it.
Mm-hmm. Partially exempt casinos. If that bill in that form would reach your desk, you would sign it.
Yes. I've thought a lot about this. The questions come up over the years. Yes, if the legislature decides to limit smoking, and then I'm going to sign it.
Are you disappointed it was vegan?
Let me just say that I'm not particularly surprised, and my reaction's a little bit like our discussion of the Kern and Shepard reforms. We ought not let perfect be the enemy of the good, and I accept and have learned to accept compromise and a concession as the legitimate price of progress. And so many of the things that, in fact, all of the things that we have done basically in these last few years, including the biggest changes, were modified during the legislative process, and that's as it should be.
Does that mean that you would have preferred if there were no
exemptions? I don't have a comment. I believe this is a very logical matter of public policy for the people's representatives to shape and decide the size of. And I have. Oh, well, I didn't know that. It seems to infringe home rule, and I would prefer to have a maximum of local autonomy. And if somebody in the future wanted to go beyond it, I would think it ill-advised to take that power away from them. Thank you. Let's break, and thank you very much.